Let's open to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8. I trust that we've all read this 8th chapter and perhaps even the 9th chapter too, as we had requested for Bible reading. And we'll just begin to look into this portion tonight at verse 12 of chapter 8. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The setting here is the Feast of the Tabernacles, where Jesus had gone up separately from his brethren, and yet he went up to attend this Feast of the Tabernacles. And we talked a little bit about this Sunday night, of what this feast was. The time when the Jews would gather together. They would build booths and dwell in them during this week as a reminder of the times during the wilderness where the Lord led them and provided for them until they were to come into the land of promise. They had no permanent dwelling places. They were on the move. They dwelt in these booths. The Lord didn't want them to forget that. He wanted them to remember both the time when they were sojourners and also to remember that He was the one who had provided for them, because it was not really the best part of the country to dwell in. That area where they were wandering in the wilderness was really a wilderness. That is, it was a barren place. It was not very productive. And so it was God who provided for them. A lot of people, after having at least studied a little of the geography of that land or have seen pictures from that area, wonder why in the world anybody would fight over it over there anyway. But I think the Lord taught them some wonderful lessons there. And among them that He was able to provide for them. And they were to reflect upon this during this week. And it was a time, we might say it was spiritual awakening. Should have been a time of revival for them. It should have been a time of rejoicing for them. But they were not all that happy, it seems. So evidently at the close of this week, the Lord had already spoken to them. You remember back in chapter 7 that, as we mentioned, the Lord had gone up there with them and there had been a good deal of discussion about Him and concerning Him and so on. In verse 2 of chapter 8, it says, early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. Then verse 12, it says, then spoke Jesus again unto them. So He has the same audience. He has been interrupted by the scribes and the Pharisees, but it's the people to whom He speaks, and once again He is interrupted by the scribes and the Pharisees. Here our Lord claims to be the light of the world. He, in essence, is claiming to be the one for whom they were looking. He makes this claim, as it is quite evident that these people were walking in spiritual darkness. They had Moses, they had the prophets, they had John the Baptist. Now the Lord Jesus was speaking to them personally. But their hearts are darkened, and they are in spiritual darkness. Our Lord had already made reference to this very early in His ministry. He talked about those who loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They were satisfied in the type of darkness that they lived. It seems that the Pharisees and the scribes, the Jewish leaders, enjoyed this. It seemed to be a part of their recreation. And some claim, too, that our Lord would make this claim of being the light of the world at a time when Israel was looking for the light. They say that during this week of the Feast of the Tabernacles, that in the evening there would be a light put upon a pole and would shine upon the temple. It would remind the people of the light for which they were looking. And at this time, the Lord Jesus makes the claim, I am the light of the world. He is not the kind of light that they wanted. And yet, these people should have been familiar with the light that the Lord Jesus was talking about. Remember when they were led out of Egypt and into the wilderness and toward the promised land? What was it that went before them? What was it that led the way? What was it gave them light by night and served as a testimony of the presence of the living God? What a contrast. The God of Israel with the gods of the Egyptians. We saw God contrasted in a God of power. And He was able by a mighty hand to lead them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and out of bondage. There wasn't an army on the face of the earth, militarily speaking, that could have contended with Egypt at that time. That's why it was such a miraculous thing. You see, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. He wouldn't even consider any nation taking these slaves out from under his jurisdiction. So he stood up even in the face of God and says, I will not allow these people to go. But we see that he did bow, as it were, and allowed them to go, and then foolishly pursued after them, and his army was destroyed. But it was God who led them. That pillar of fire. The light that was a light to all the people. And the Lord Jesus now claims in their midst, I'm the light of the world. They'd been walking and stumbling in darkness. There, Israel had become the laughingstock of the nations round about. They were in slavery to Rome now. And they needed a leader. They needed light. They needed direction. They needed help. And the Lord has offered Himself. And they reject Him. In the 27th Psalm, in verse 1, David knew something about this life. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David knew who God was, and he referred to him as his light. Now the Lord Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now you notice though he's speaking to the multitude, and he has offered himself to Israel, yet he is not giving an invitation to the nation as a whole, it seems. He knows well that the nation as a whole is not going to accept him. But he puts it on an individual basis here, on a whosoever will basis. He that believeth, or he that followeth me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He's talking about the true spiritual light that will illuminate man's life. Now this is man's greatest need. His mind was so obscured by superstitions as well as the bondage to the law and fears, the Lord had come to bring light. But immediately the Pharisees take issue with him. Therefore they said unto him, Thou bearest witness of thyself, thy witness is not true. Let's say, well, you're making this claim, they're saying. You see? If you're the light of the world, then someone else should have come and introduced you. There should be another witness. You stand alone in this claim that you're making. But really, was the Lord Jesus standing alone? Maybe at this time. But had Israel been without a witness? I mean, even in Jesus' day. Who introduced him to the nation in the first place? John the Baptist, his forerunner, introduced him. There cometh one after me, he said, the latchet of whose shoes or sandals I am not worthy to unloose. They rejoiced in the light that John gave them, the little light that he gave for a time, but that light was put out. So they say, you are actually making a claim all by yourself, so since this is a witness of yourself, it is not true. Now, the Lord challenges that. He said, though I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For he says, I know from where I came and where I go. In other words, I know. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. But he says, you cannot tell from where I come or where I go. In chapter 7, you remember, in verse 27, they said, nevertheless, we know this man from where he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth from where he is. They were not altogether right, were they? So far as they were concerned, he came from Nazareth. He was a Galilean. And they further said, when the Messiah comes, nobody will know where he comes from. They had an idea that suddenly he would appear on the scene. And that's the way it will be. Suddenly, the Messiah will come. Oh, it will be a blessed day, but they're in darkness now, even now, regarding his coming. The Lord Jesus says, since I know where I came from and where I am going, my witness is true, though I bear witness of myself. He said, you judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And he said, yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Now, here's where he is really treading on some dangerous ground. He says, for I am not alone. Now they said, you have your own witness. Your witness is not true. But he says, I'm not alone in this. I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness with me. So even according to their law, he says, I have met that law, and there is sufficient witness here. Now they say unto him, where is thy Father? He said, the Father sent me. Now they say, where is your Father? It is generally believed that by this time, Joseph was dead. There's no mention of him from this time on. So far as the carpenter from Nazareth is concerned, they never mention him. But this is the one they're thinking about. They said, where is your Father? They're trying to still associate him with Joseph the Nazarene, the carpenter. But Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. He doesn't say so right here. Right at this moment, he doesn't say, I and my Father are one. That comes a little later. But he said, if you had known me, and then it's wonderful, there is such a unity between the Father and the Son. There's such a likeness. Then he says, he that has seen me has seen the Father, he tells Philip later on. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he said, where I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins. Now you'll notice I skipped one word that's in the italics. They have added that. For if ye believe not that I am he, we know the meaning of it though, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that hath said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am, or that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Oh, the claim that he makes of that relationship with his Father. And they would not believe that the Father had sent him. And this was the real issue. Therefore, they would not believe him. And so the Lord said, you don't really know my Father. Verse 31, then said Jesus unto those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, Then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So here again, those standing by are taking issue with him because he said, you're yet in bondage, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They say, we are Abraham's seed. What they're really saying here, we are not a slave nation. We're sons of the covenant. The issue is really, really getting serious here. Because it would seem that they are taking or what Jesus has said to mean that they are not really of God as they would claim. They are claiming that your father, they said, where is he? The Lord Jesus says, you don't know him. Now they say, we know who our father is. We are the seed of Abraham. Says, we've never been in bondage. But note, the Lord said, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant or slave to sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth. The son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, he was speaking the truth to them in person. He was laying before them things that they had not read from Abraham, or had not heard from Abraham. And what God was offering them through his mercy, he goes on to say, ye do the deeds of your father. And here he really makes some very strong statements, some strong accusations. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They're going back to make some accusations now against the Lord concerning things that evidently were pretty much hush-hush. They said, we were not born of fornication. Evidently, this is how they labeled the Lord Jesus, that he was born out of wedlock, born in fornication. He was born before Joseph and Mary ever came together. Therefore, he bore this through his earthly journey here. So they're now openly speaking to him, and this is in a very harsh tone, and it's in cutting words, and their idea and their purpose was to really cut him down. They had saved this, you might say, to the last. This was the strongest and most cutting of all their statements, and this is what they're trying to do. They said, we have one Father, even God. In other words, they, in making this claim, are justifying themselves in all that they were doing and saying. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth from and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now they said, you are a witness standing on your own claims. But now the Lord gets very plain. He said, I did not even come of myself. I am the sent one. Sent of God. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convicteth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now here's a real challenge for them. They had made some pretty rough statements about him and to him. Now, since they're getting so hostile toward him, he asked them one question. Which of you convicteth me of sin? Now, that would really be something, wouldn't it? Can you imagine if you or I were to appear before some of our accusers, would we dare make a challenge like that? Oh, not on your life. But he's saying, which of you convicteth me of sin? Let one come forward with one sin that I have ever committed. Well, only the Lord Jesus could present a challenge like that. Verse 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. You see, there was no fellowship between them and God. There was no relationship between them and God. The natural man, Paul tells us, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we also we speak, not in the word of man's wisdom, that man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing the spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Here is the problem. They had no common grounds. There was no agreement. There was nothing to answer to the other. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a demon? Here again, they're making the claim that he has a demon. And Jesus answered, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and ye dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Abraham saw my day, he said. Isn't that amazing? Abraham saw his day. How did Abraham see his day? What was it on? By faith. God said, in thee and in thy seed. Now in Galatians, Paul says, with reverence, not as of many, but one. Who is that seed that Paul was referring to there? Christ. And Abraham, by faith, saw him. He was glad. He rejoiced. The Jews said, you see, again, when they had their minds made up, their minds were closed, they're in walking in spiritual darkness, they couldn't understand what he was saying. And haven't you noticed this sometimes when you get into discussion with some, if you've ever gotten into discussion with some who are just a little short of atheists, they don't want to really, they don't seem to want to understand anything that you're saying. They get confused, they're mixed up, and it's pathetic. But Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Why should they get upset at this? It said they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Why should they get upset at Jesus saying this? He said, I am the light of the world. But they didn't want to, they didn't stone him at that. But when he says, before Abraham was, I am. What was he really saying? There's only one who can make that statement. That's Jehovah. And incidentally, you know, the Jews would not then and do not now speak the word Jehovah. They will not even write his name, well, of course, it's sort of like abbreviated. That's his name, Yahweh, but they would not pronounce the name Yahweh. They'd refer to him as the Lord, but they would not call him Jehovah because it was unutterable. It was too holy. You didn't even mention his name. And this is who Jesus claims to be. They take up stones to stone him because they say he had no right to make such a claim as that. This is what God said to Moses. When Moses said, to whom shall I say sent me? When I go back to the land of Egypt and tell those people that I have been sent and that they must follow me and go out of the land, they're going to say, who sent you? Now, what am I going to say? Who has sent me? And God said, tell them that I am. What a contrast again with all the so-called gods. You see, I am is the all-sufficient, the eternal God. I am doesn't mean I was or I will be. I am. Ever, always, eternally, self-sufficient, all-sufficient, all-powerful. See, no one else can make that claim. Tremendous claim that Jesus said before Abraham was. I am. To have lived before Abraham, he had to be God. Not only to make that claim, but you see, he goes back before Abraham, and so far as the Jews were concerned, Abraham was our father, there's where we had our beginning. You don't compare anyone with Abraham, and you don't challenge anything that we say concerning Abraham. Well, let's read the 9th chapter for next week, and you'll notice as you read it, I'd like you to forget that chapter 9 is there. I'd like you to go back and read and go right on into chapter 9. It's a continuation. Just go right on reading it, because the things that developed in chapter 9 grew out of what had just happened in chapter 8. Now just some time maybe for some comments or some questions before we leave. That's a good thought. That's one to ponder. I hadn't heard that. Abraham was bound to have seen so much. My, that faith. Every time we see Abraham in the New Testament, it's connected with faith, isn't it? What he told. He looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and verse 13 says, all these died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Isn't that beautiful? Talk about a walk of faith. He walked as though these were his present possession. He already had it. It was his. You know, you don't find stronger faith than that. Yeah, that's a good thought concerning Melchizedek there. You know, that so-called mysterious character of Genesis. Any other thoughts anyone would care to share with us? Well, let's close in prayer. John Little, would you lead us in prayer tonight as we close? Amen.